listening to the Save the Marriage podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
Well, we've made it through the year. We're on the cusp of a new year. If you're listening to this because you got an email, it is likely New Year's Eve, maybe a little bit after because you didn't check your email until later. And I don't blame you because we're in the midst of that celebration. If you're kind of curious on what the big deal is, you know, really, New Year's Day is just another day. And yet, in some ways, it has a significance that dates back millennia. A lot of researchers know that the beginning of celebrating New Year's was actually by the Babylonians, the ancient Babylonians, 4,000 years ago. They were celebrating the beginning of the lengthening of days. It started on the vernal equinox, that day in March where the days are equal. Night and day is equal. And as the day began to catch up, the daylight began to grow, they were celebrating the coming of that new year. And even then, they were making their promises. At that point, it was making promises to try to gain the favor of the gods. And so they would make the promises of repaying debts and returning farm equipment as a way of regaining favor. Well, over the centuries, the celebration continued even into the ancient Roman culture, which is actually where we get January 1st, because before then it had been that equinox day. And so the problem was the calendar didn't line up with the equinox. There weren't enough days. And so finally, the Roman culture, Julius Caesar decided that January 1st would be the beginning of the calendar year because Janus, who January is named after, was the god of new beginnings. And that's how we get this January 1st date where everything begins anew. Well, what's that mean for you and me? You know, we have that feeling, that sense that everything is a renewal. It kind of reminds me of back when I was in school and I was so glad when a semester would end and the grades were done and everything was completed and I could start fresh. So the question is for you, how do you start fresh? How do you move into this next year in ways that are different than where you've been and where we've been together? As you're working on this relationship issue, there are some places that I think you can see things differently. Because one of the things I've realized over the years is those New Year's resolutions really don't get us very far. We make those promises, sometimes even intoxicated promises, of how the year's going to be different. And usually within a few days, we've either forgotten what we promised or fallen short on that. I remember years ago, I used to make some pretty big resolution lists. And fully sober, I would make the list of 5-10 different things that I wanted each year. And they rarely survived. Maybe one or two survived, but not many. And so this year, I want to talk about one word that could be your resolution. But before that, some shifts that might happen just in your thinking, some not really resolutions or promises you need to make, but some different ways of seeing things. So let's talk about those first, and then we'll talk about that one word. One of the things that I would suggest you do is decide that you're going to let the year go. Let last year go. In other words, let your past go. You can't ever drive in a car very far looking in the rearview mirror. And yet every day people are constantly looking in the rearview mirror about where they've been, not where they're headed, not where they want to go, but they're bound by the past and they feel captured by that past. And so they're constantly referring to things that happened. Do you find yourself referencing this past year? And maybe it's things you don't want to have a certain way and things you do want to have a certain way, but it's always bound in that past. So can you decide? Can we decide together that we're just going to drive forward? We're going to let the past go. We're going to leave it behind us and decide that things can be different. And all it takes is the decision to let what's in the past be in the past. Wayne Dyer is one of my favorite authors, and Wayne said at one point that his analogy was looking at a boat. You know, if you're in a boat and the boat is going down the water, you can look back and it kind of looks like the wake is pushing the boat along. The wake just kind of spreads out and is as if it's pushing that boat along. And you forget that the boat is what's propelling that and the boat is leaving that wake behind. The wake is not pushing the boat. The boat's creating that wake and moving away from it. The point is, can you decide that you're going to leave your wake behind? You're going to stop looking in the rearview mirror, stop thinking and being haunted by what's happened. Now, just like when you're driving, every now and then it's good to reference what's behind you, but you don't want to get stuck focused on that. So let's decide that with this new year, we start looking ahead, only looking back when necessary, but looking forward to what's coming, deciding that we can deal with what's coming only when we're watching it, only when we're head forward and looking for what's coming our way. The second thing that I think is an important shift is to decide that who you were is not who you are. In some very biological ways, every 4 to 5 years, your entire body is replaced. And every 2 years or so, all of the soft tissue in your body has been replaced by new cells. So in a very real sense, you're not who you are now is not who you were 6 months ago. And who you are now is not who you were last New Year's Eve. And none of you is the same as 5 New Years ago. So you're constantly changing on a biological level, but you're also constantly changing in the moment because your thoughts change. Have you ever noticed, maybe you talked with a child who was going off to college and they come back and you realize that their thinking has changed, that they've grown, they've developed. They might not even be aware of it, but they've changed. Or maybe you recognize that you've read a new book and you've had a new way of thinking, or you saw a movie that gave you a new way of thinking, or you had an experience that opened your eyes to something new. You're not the same person. So don't let who you are be based on who you were. You can be a new person any moment just by deciding that you're going to show up more, that you're going to really be present more, that you're going to take responsibility for who you are and how you react to the world. You are not the same person that you were, even at the beginning of this podcast. And you're not the same person you were before there was a crisis in your relationship. And you weren't the same person you were years ago. So don't allow yourself to be captured by that, to say to yourself, well, this is who I am. Who you are is who you choose to be. Show up. Be present more and take responsibility. And those are three good rubrics of finding a new you within that. Which brings us to that taking responsibility thing. Let's decide together that in this next year, responsibility falls on your own well-being, that other people are not responsible for how you are in the world, that an argument is not the basis for your well-being, that you can choose your well-being even in the midst of a crisis. My belief, my writing in Thriveology, my studying of people who thrive, is that people can thrive no matter what life throws their way if they take what's happening to them and they turn it into a learning experience. They turn it into an expansion experience, a growth experience. You know, it's the struggles in life that build us into who we are. Think about it just on a biological level again. If you wanted to build muscle, what would you do? Would you just kind of make sure you avoid any stress, or would you stress that muscle? Would you lift some weights harder than it would be before? Because the challenge of the muscles is what builds those muscles. It's the same with your psyche. The challenges that come along, the difficult times you've had, build you into a more resilient person. So allow that to become more about who you're growing into. Also, take responsibility for your own happiness, to say, you know what? Nobody else is responsible for that. I'm going to take on my place of happiness and make sure that I build the life that I want in my life. I'm going to find my places of happiness. Now, that doesn't mean that relationships don't bring us happiness and joy. The problem is when we say that person should make me happy, that relationship should make me happy. There's only one place to find that happiness, and that's within yourself. And really, that happiness, in my mind, is about finding your own place of meaning and purpose in the world, of how you're going to impact the world and grow it bigger and bigger. This is your year that you can say, you know what? I look at how I impact the world. And here's the thing. No matter how you've been impacting the world, you can up it. You can take it up the next level, because that's what we're built for. When we don't chase down our place of impact, we find ourselves playing small. We find ourselves playing out of fear. But when we say, you know what, it's time for me to make an impact in the world, I'm going to do it in my own life, in my family's life, in my friend's life, in the world, then we're finding how we're truly designed. We're finding that place of true growth that we can do, which brings us to how we also take action. If you've been working on your relationship, you've probably built a plan. If you haven't built a plan, it's time to create that plan so you make an impact in your relationship. So make that your action plan of taking responsibility and stepping up and saying, I'm going to create that plan, or I'm going to reset that plan. Sometimes we get a little complacent and we don't find ourselves pushing forward with that plan. Now's your chance to do that. Now's your chance to say, you know what? New beginnings. The places where I fell short on that plan are back there. That's not me. That's the old me. The new me is stepping into my plan and working it every single day. I'm being a calm, constant, consistent in my efforts to work on this relationship. I'm going to work on connection by showing up and being present. I'm going to be different this year because I take action. And that action needs to include some self-care. One of the mistakes I see people make over and over is when they're in the midst of a crisis, they stop taking care of themselves. They stop getting the rest they need. They stop the exercise they need. They stop the eating well that they need. And all of those impact your capacity. Who you are, the body you carry with you, affects you emotionally, but it also affects your capacity of having the energy to move forward and make that impact in the world. Take care of yourself as you make that change in this new year and just commit to that. You don't have to make big resolutions about the weight you're going to lose or the exercise you're going to do as much as make a decision that self-care is an important part of the new you as you move forward, as you claim that new place of being. So now let me just spend a couple of minutes talking about having a one-word resolution, not a list of resolutions, but just one word that's going to guide you through this year.
The one word resolution is not my creation. In fact, I'm not quite sure who did create it. I've seen a book written on it. But over a decade ago, my church adopted a tradition for several years of coming up with one word, each person to come up with one word that would encapsulate what they wanted out of the year. And my family started that very year and continued it even after my church stopped. And so each year, each one of us on New Year's Eve announces our word. And we talk about why we chose that word. It's not just saying a word, but it's choosing a word that you're planning on living into the new year. Last night, we had one of my daughter's friends over who often spends New Year's Eve with us, and she's done this word each year. And so she was talking about last year's word for herself, and she was wondering if she'd really lived into it. And we kept trying to get her to see where she had lived into it, and she was resisting because what she really wanted to see was where she had been intentionally doing it, really living into it. So these words can be powerful words. And so every year, I spend the last couple of months of the year just kind of thinking about that off and on, about what that word is. In the past, I chose words like thanks as a way of getting back to that gratitude. Well, the year after thanks, I realized that there was something else there that I needed to express. And so my word that year was wow. And that was a way of me saying, you know, I really needed to see the amazement of the world, to reimagine the world in amazement, to not just stand around and go, okay, thanks for that. But wow, this is an amazing world to be in. Then after that, I realized that things were really pressing in on me, and what I needed to do was breathe. And so my word that year was to breathe, to take a chance, to take a breather. And that year is the year I went back to making sure that I took time for meditation and took time for quiet and took time to just breathe, the in-breath and out-breath of running and doing all these other activities to make sure that in a busyness of life, I was breathing. Another year was about flow because I found that there were some projects that were just kind of stuck. And I wanted to get to that place where it was just flowing, that life was more flowing and not so stuck. And so I focused on that, which led to the next year where I realized that I couldn't just be flowing. I needed to create. That's one of the years that I wrote a book. And so that year was my focus on creating and starting the podcast and doing some other pieces of things that I'd wanted to do for a while and just hadn't had a chance. So then along the way, I realized I also needed to show up, right? To really be present. Now, I know that's cheating. I hyphenated so I could cheat, but I came up with the word show up to really bring my presence into my relationships and to be more fully engaged in the world. Last year, my word became presence. To really bring my presence out, to when I'm doing something, to really be present for it, to be mindful and to be really engaged. And so when I was talking with someone, to be fully present there. And when I was doing training, to be fully present there. And when I was coaching someone, to be fully present there. And then when I was sitting with my wife talking, to be fully present there, not to be distracted by phone, tablets. When I was with my kids, to be fully present with them. And so, and even when I was doing something else, when I was at a movie, to be fully present in a movie or fully present reading the book, whatever I was doing, I wanted to be fully present. So just to let you in on a little secret, because I haven't even told my family yet, but my word this year is going to be appreciation. And the word, it may be appreciate by the time I get to that, but appreciation or appreciate, because I realize it's not enough for me to feel gratitude. It's not enough to feel it, to be thankful, to have that wow of life if I don't share it. And so I decided that this year I'm going to choose appreciate or appreciation as a way of really doing that, of being appreciative of the people in my life, of the things in my life, of the people that surround me, and to say, you know what, thanks for what you do for my life. To say that to my family, to everyone, and to for you, Mia, thank you for being here every week, listening to the material, and thank you for giving me feedback. That's part of my appreciation, to recognize also how much I appreciate the amazement of watching people work on their relationship, because I see you as doing heroic work, and I appreciate the fact that you bring that into our world that really makes it easy to walk away from a relationship. So I even start my appreciate a day early. And so you hear me saying how I appreciate you being here. I just want to say thank you for you being here. Now I want to challenge you. What is your word? What word will you live into this year? Not what's just a word, but what is the word? What is that word that will encapsulate it? We've already talked about some ways you can be in the world this year, but what's the word that captures it for you? What's the one word that will compel you? I'll tell you what I do. I put that word at the top of my electronic calendar. So I just drop it in as a recurring daily event for the whole year. And every day when I open my calendar, I see my word as a reminder. And then through the day when I'm opening my calendar, I see it again as a reminder. And then I begin to think, just as I encourage you to do in the morning, how are you going to live into that day? And in the evening, how did you live into that day? You can use that word as an anchor point. So let me challenge you. What is your word for the new year? How will you be that word in the new year? How will you let go of the past? How will you decide who you want to be moving forward? How will you take responsibility, take action, take care of yourself, and live into that single word this year? My challenge for you, find that word. That's the first challenge. The second challenge is to fully live into the word, so that at the end of the year, somebody can ask you about your word and you can tell them that you fully lived into the word. This is Lee Balcom wishing you the best for a great new year as you launch the new beginning, not looking back, looking forward, living into your word that you choose this year. I wish you the best.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.